This section, the second part in the morning session, we're going to be fellowshipping concerning the gospel on the campus. Now, I think, you know, when this topic of the gospel comes up, there's a couple of reactions. You know, to some, it's like, all right, let's go, you know. Right? That may or may not be so proper. We're not here for a movement. We're not here for some kind of big campaign. But I think for the most part, even for a lot of us, gospel is, okay, time to tune out. I don't want to be in front of people. I don't want to make people feel comfortable. I don't want to be uncomfortable. You see my point? And we just kind of, okay, well, we'll just tune out second session in the morning. But I hope through this time, the Lord would have a way to renew our mind to see how wonderful is the gospel. Gospel is good news. It's glad tidings, right? So we'll have a lot of fellowship. Hopefully that our minds will be renewed, how we view the gospel, and also eventually how we practice the gospel, okay? So if we go to the outline here, message one, it says, seizing the opportunity to preach the gospel through the unique way of love. Okay? Seizing the opportunity. Actually, before I start, how many of us here are freshmen going into college? Stand up. Praise the Lord. Okay. You know why I have you stand up? Because you are the most blessed. That means you haven't even started college yet. You have the most opportunity to experience and enjoy this wonderful gospel. Okay, go ahead and sit down. Thank you. You have the most opportunity to seize, to minister this wonderful Christ. Okay? Now, we have to understand college years. Okay? The college years, Romans 1, are a unique time, an opportunity for the young people to preach the gospel. You know, college campuses are like a miracle. You know, sometimes we have a burden for the gospel. We were trying to find somebody to preach to. And, you know, but God created something called universities. It's wonderful. You know what happens in these universities? Thousands, I mean this whole country, millions, are gathered together year after year after year in one place. They even live there. Thousands of them live there. For what? Young people. Not these, you know, you don't go to, you know, old folks' homes. Sorry. I mean, the Lord loves them too. But they got one foot in the land of the living and another foot always almost into the grave. Right? Praise the Lord. The Lord still needs to save them. But even if they get saved, they don't have that much time left to see God's economy, to touch their spirit, to be in what is, to move God's hand on the earth today. Okay? So you are in the campuses where God has gathered thousands, you know, all kinds of people, godly, ungodly, very, you know, all kinds, from all over the world, especially even here in the United States. You don't even need to go to China. There's hundreds of them coming from China to here. You don't need to go, you know, Philippines, whatever it is, right? So you are in a very critical, crucial place where God gathers so many young people, okay? And what kind of people, especially the freshmen, right? A lot of you coming, I was talking to one brother on the way here, you don't even know where the class is, where your classroom is, much less what you're going to do with your life. You see my point? So it's a time of uncertainty. A lot of these kids, young people, they're trying to find out who they are, what they're about, what they want to do, what they want to be. You see my point? So it's a time of uncertainty. That is the right time to present them with something new and fresh, which is Christ. Okay? A lot of saints, they really started their walk with the Lord during the college years. Okay? 18, 19, 20, right? Even when the Lord called the disciples, they were by the seashore there, they were probably around this age. Okay? Because if God wants to move on the earth, he can't go to the older generation. He always has to come to the young generation. So you have to realize how privileged, how blessed you are to be in a college campus. This is the best fishing pond, right? And here's the thing, especially the freshmen. It is amazing. You know, Ohio State University, there's 12,000 freshmen coming in every year. Even if you mess up this year, guess what? It's reset. Next year, another 12,000 comes in. You can try again. Year after year, since the 1870s, they've been doing this, right? 40,000, 30,000, whatever your campus is, God has gathered them. So you have to see where you are. You have to see where you are. Okay? Amen. And a lot of these young people, they're not occupied. They say, I'm so busy. Don't believe that. Until you have a wife and three kids and a dog and a mortgage, you're not busy. I don't care if you're in grad school even. You know, one time I was with a brother. I don't have time to even, do this and that. I looked at his schedule. Okay, this is, schedule, your classes, this is work. Even here's the meetings, right? There's 40 hours free. People are unoccupied in the college campuses. They say they don't have time because their heart is not there. But if their heart is there, they'll pour time that they don't have into it. Okay? So you are in the perfect place with the perfect people to preach the gospel. So you need to see that. Okay? Now, how do we view the gospel? Okay, I'd like to share something from the word here. And I'll just read through this parable with you. It's in Luke chapter 10. You can turn there if you want. You can kind of follow along. Because in order to live a life of the gospel, we need to touch this unique way of love. Okay? So again, I'm not here to stir you up to do something. But I think we need to really touch God's heart for man. Right? If we do not touch God's heart for man, then really the gospel is... In fact, the more you preach the gospel, the more damaging it becomes to God's purpose. Okay? So we need to learn how to have to be a proper man of God. We need to have a heart. Okay? It starts with Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And, you can just follow along with me. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and put him, the Lord Jesus, to the test, saying, "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he said, "You shall love the Lord your God from your whole heart and with your whole soul and with your whole strength and your whole mind, and your neighbor as yourself." That's a good answer, right? And the Lord said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do it. Do this, and you shall have life." Go ahead. Right? The lawyer said, love with your whole being, and then you love your neighbor as yourself. The Lord says, go ahead and do it, and you'll have life. And then it says, and then the next verse says, "But he," the lawyer, "wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'Well, who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? You say love your neighbor. Who's my neighbor?'" So in a sense, the lawyer is kind of trying to test the Lord. And that gave the Lord the opportunity to present this parable. But Jesus, taking up the question, said, "A certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho." Right? You have to realize when you look at the campus, the people there, everybody is going down. They're going down. Jerusalem is the city of peace, right? But to go down to Jericho is the city of curse. Those people without God, they're all going down. I don't care what kind of car they drive, how much money they have, how successful they are, what kind of PhD they have, they're all going down. Okay? And he fell among the robbers, who having stripped him and beaten him, went away, leaving him half dead. So you need to have a real consideration. People are not only going down, they're all beaten, wounded, bleeding, stripped. You know how many of them, they go through so many things in life, just a human life, it's a suffering. You know, how many here have never been hurt in their life? You must be an angel, right? Everybody gets hurt. All kinds of situations. You look at every person, they have a smile outwardly. Inwardly, they're dying. They're bleeding to death. They're half dead. Okay? I've only been serving 3 years. But in these 3 years, two people have contemplated committing suicide. And one of them was my neighbor. She actually did. I saw the ambulance happen one day. You know, pharmaceutical companies today are doing well. You know why? All the antidepressant drugs are record sales. That means this is the condition of man. You know, and there's a book even recently written, Lonely America. You know, Americans are lonely. They have so many problems, they have no one to open to. This is the condition of man. You know, and something, you look at people outwardly, they may present something, but actually if you dig a little bit deeper, you realize they are in a bad shape. They're wounded. You know, there's a brother, it's like there's nothing serious with him. We're trying to talk about the Lord and everything's a joke. And then then I got to know this brother, I realized, you know what? He grew up, his dad really abused his mom. And you know, and he grew up, you know, I remember he told me a story. He stepped on a nail and he was just bleeding. But his dad was passed out, drunk. And he had to help himself. He was about 4 years old. So this kind of person, if you don't make light of the situation, that's a defense mechanism. You will go insane. And I realized, wow, this is a wounded person. This person got stripped. All kind of virtue, dignity. You know, how many broken homes? You know, maybe you have a proper upbringing, but then the robber here is the law, and the many times, and I consider myself, I grew up in the church, but then I put a certain standard on myself that I can't make. How many of us have weaknesses, and we just get beat up? To the point, I remember praying one day, Lord, I confess this thing so many times. Will you forgive me this time? How many of us have gotten to that point? So all kinds of things beat us up, whether it's ourself, a law, a standard, or just the suffering of human life. Everybody is bleeding and half dead. So when you go to this right place, this is the campus, and you go among the college students with the right people, you have to realize they're all going down. Okay, let's keep going. And by coincidence, there was a priest going down the road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, also a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed on the other side. This is what religion does. It will tell you everything that's wrong with you, but it can't help you. You know, brother, you shouldn't be like this. You shouldn't be like that. But that person, religion, the law, cannot help you. Okay? Just the other day, there's a brother, he's reading this thing about how to give glory to God, and he called me, he said, I don't know how to do this. And he was almost weeping, to the point of weeping. You see my point? Religion, self-help, everything of your, this will not help people. Okay? So that's by coincidence. But a certain Samaritan who was journeying came upon him. And when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. You know, the Lord Jesus, he didn't come by coincidence. He came on a journey. Right here. God journeyed, became a man, went to human living, died on the cross, he was buried, He was resurrected, become a life-giving spirit, enthroned, and he poured himself out to get into you. What a journey. This is the Samaritan. The Samaritan, he's a despised person. Okay? Praise the Lord. He was moved with compassion. He came and bound up his wounds, poured oil and wine, and placing them on his own beast. In the oil and wine, oil is the Spirit. And the wine is the Lord's divine life. Let me tell you, the only thing that can heal all the wounds in our inner being is the Spirit and the Lord's life. You see, your friends, they don't need anything else except for the Spirit and except for the Lord's life. Praise the Lord. Then he placed him on his beast and he brought him to the inn to take care of him. Right? You know what the inn is? The inn is the church. Right? You know, sometimes maybe we go to the campus, we should just be a beast. The Lord heals these, touches these people, they put them on your back, and you just bring them into the inn. Bring the people into the church life. You know what the church life is? It's a bunch of beat up, half dead people in recovery. Amen. That's who we are. We all of us in all kind of condition, but by the Lord's compassion, by the Lord touching us in our condition, brought us in. Brought us to the inn. And look at this. He said, he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. And then whatever you spend in addition to this, when I return, I will repay you. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord always gives you some grace, some enjoyment, some blessing to take care of the ones that he brings in. But you know what? Almost all the time, it's not enough. You need to spend in addition. Right? This is why we pray and we fellowship and we go. Right? Brother Emir, the Lord gives him to us. Oh, I need much more denarii to take care of this one brother. But you know what? Whatever you spend in addition, when the Lord comes back, that's your reward. So when the Lord comes back, he'll settle accounts. He says, how much did you spend in addition? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're in the inn? The Lord gives us the grace, and the Lord will come back, and he will reward us based on how much we spend taking care of people. Okay? Now, verse 36. Which of these three, the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan, does it seem to you has become a neighbor to him who fell into the hands of the robbers? You know, the lawyer said, who's my neighbor? So I can love that person. But the Lord turned the question around and says, who did it seem to you became a neighbor to him who fell among the robbers? So what was the Lord saying? Mr. Lawyer, you are looking for somebody you're looking for your neighbor so that you can love them. The Lord is saying, Mr. Lawyer, you are the one who got beat up and you need a neighbor. Who did it seem to you became a neighbor to him who fell among the robbers? Isn't that good? So who do we need? We need the Lord Jesus. He is the only one who knows our case. He's the only one who's touched, full of compassion. I don't have any heart for man, but he does. Right? So we need this neighbor. And eventually he says, the one who showed mercy to him. And Jesus said to him, go and you do likewise. So what do we need to do? We need to be touched by the love of our neighbor Jesus. He's the good Samaritan. He's the one who has a heart for man. He's the one who has the spirit and the life to heal our wounds. When you are healed and touched and loved and carried by him into the inn, eventually we will have a heart. When we look at the freshmen, when we look at all of these people on the campuses, we realize they are longing for what we have. Then the gospel becomes something very different. Praise the Lord. And I think Brother Robbie will share a little bit more.
the Lord. My name is Robbie. I'm from Ohio. I was one of those young people who was never that happy when it came out to preaching the gospel. In fact, I avoided it. And some of the brothers used to preach the gospel on campus. I think that was in Akron, Ohio. And I did my best to get out of it. Why am I saying that to you? It's because this is not a human desire. This is God's desire. And since we are all people of God, every one of us are regenerated believers. You receive the divine life, the divine nature. And if that were not so, you would not be here today. So I'm going to address us as God's chosen ones, God's called out ones, ones that were saved by him. We were all sinners. We were all saved. Whether you grew up in the church or you grew up in some small town in Ohio somewhere or Illinois, or you grew up in the city and you were so naughty or whatever, you know what? God loves us. God in his person is love. God is love. And in his essence, he is love. And when we touch God, when we touch him, something of him gets into us. You know, when we got saved, the Bible tells us that the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. When we all got convicted, you know, when we heard the gospel, when someone openly portrayed Jesus Christ to us, what happened? We received him as the Spirit. And as the Spirit, he came into our spirit, and in particularly, this says, into our hearts. Our heart includes our soul, right? And the conscious part of our spirit. When the Spirit comes inside of us, what happens? We got convicted. Our conscience got convicted. I'm a sinner. I'm so sinful. I'm so unrighteous. I'm so ungodly. Something's wrong with me. I'm dead. As the Spirit it was coming into our hearts, you know what happened? We got convicted. And we realized God loves me. He loves me. And because he loves me, I love him. You know, we love him because he first loved us. Don't depend on your love for people. Go to him. Even to this very day when I spend time with the Lord, I tell him, Lord, I love you because you first loved me. I may not feel it, but I stand on this verse. Do you all love him? Amen. You have to tell him every time you go to him, Lord, I love you. Not because I feel this or I don't feel that. I love you because you first loved me. His love was poured out into our hearts. And it's by this love we love him. And it's by this love we love our fellow man. I was very impressed with some verses here. You know, here, John says, John chapter 4, 35 says, do not say that there are yet 4 months, and then the harvest comes. It says, behold, I tell you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already. You know, the more you contact the Lord, the Lord will tell you, lift up your eyes. You know, don't depend on your eyes. We can tell you this is the golden opportunity of your life. You're a freshman, and you may feel like, oh, don't put that pressure on me. But I have to tell you, really what we are saying to you is let the Lord lift up your eyes. The only way this happens is if you contact the Lord in your spirit and in your heart. You see, eventually, the more you contact him, the more he infuses his heart. Timothy says, God desires all men to be saved. You know, not just some men, not ones you like or don't like. There's no prejudice here. There's no bias. There's none of that. You may have a roommate this year, and please, this may sound funny, but this actually happened this year. One of our young brothers, as a freshman, got into his roommate, and the roommate was a cross-dresser. Some of you may think this is funny, but the fact remains is this person need to be saved. Why? Why? Because the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. You know, the Lord inside of us loves all men. Even this cross-dresser, this is just an expression of his death and darkness. But the Lord loves him. You see, the Lord has a heart for all men, not just some, but all. And let me tell you, this verse, the Lord comes to seek and to save that which is lost. This means that if you're seeking something and you want to save something that was lost, that means that you value this. God created us, right? In his image, in his likeness. We were created by God. God was happy when we were created. Right? All of us are God-created ones. All these ones coming to your campuses are God-created ones. They were created by God. They were created with the human spirit. They were made in God's image and God's likeness. They are God's kind. So God does not want to lose one. In fact, he will come after just one. He will forget 99 and seek out one because he loves him. This is God's heart. And what should we do? We should go to the Lord of the harvest. Once the Lord opens your eyes, we need to seek him out. Lord, you have a need. I come to you. What happened to me? Nothing touched me until I heard a message concerning God's building. When I heard a message concerning God's building, this had to do with God's heart, what God desires. That message infused me. My response to that message was, I give myself to you, Lord, to collect the materials for your house. That really changed me. I desire to be one who will collect materials for your house. I love you, Lord. This is what you want. You want your building. You want your house. And I do love you. I love you because you first loved me. Your heart is inside of me. You have died for me. The Bible says, in this we know the love of God, because the Lord died for us. We need to know the Lord's love. We need to know the difference between our love. We might be a naturally outgoing person. This is not what we're talking about. You may be a person who is friendly. This is not what we're talking about. Our natural love is self-deceiving. We need the love of God. And you know what? We have it. Every one of you has the love of God in your hearts. We just need to spend time and allow the Lord to perfect it, perfect us in love, so that we can live a life that expresses God. You know, love is the highest expression of the divine life. When the life that we receive is expressed, it is expressed, as love. How about that? Praise the Lord. Who in here has God's life? I tell you, the more you enjoy this life, when it's expressed, is it expressed as love. You may be in a room, and you are, I believe all of you are very serious students, and you might be studying, but the Lord's love and the Lord's life in you will say, hey, stop for 10, 15 minutes and talk to your roommate. You see? You know, the Bible says if we keep the Lord's commandments, his love has been perfected. To keep his commandments is to keep his word. You know, we need to read the, okay, this is a test question. What is the Bible, just a written word in Greek, called? All of you are college students, you all need to know this. The Logos, right? And the Logos is what? The constant word. We have the word, and I do believe there's a strong desire in us to read the word often, every day, touch the word of God. We should be constantly, definitely, daily reading God's word. But as we read the word, eventually we experience the rhema word, instant speaking from the Lord. Often the Lord will speak to you. Say something. You know, care for your roommate. Talk to a classmate. If you say amen, you know what happens? His love is perfected in you. Isn't that interesting? Not just you obeyed, but the more the Lord's love has been perfected in you. We need the Lord's love to be perfected. And that means we need to spend time to enjoy the Lord. So on one hand, we talked about the condition of people. Very, very, very sad on one hand. On the other hand, God sees them valuable. Amen. We have to see both ends. On one hand, they are perishing. They're perishing. They're dying. They're being desensitized. They're being satanized. Demonized. You see? But on the other hand, God loves everyone. Everyone. So I would encourage you to spend time to seek the Lord of the harvest. Spend time to be infused by Him. Spend time and ask the Lord, Lord, open my eyes. I can't do it, Lord. You have to lift up my eyes to see right where I'm at. And I have to tell you something. There's thousands of freshmen coming, but you may just be around three or four. So that's the ones you need to look at. You can look at the big ones. You may say, oh, too big, too much for me. This is crazy. We need an evangelist to come. We need some, you know, particular brother to come to save everybody. We're talking about just three or four. You have a couple of roommates and maybe some floor mates. Okay, that's right there. That's the harvest. The Lord's like, oh, lift my eyes, Lord, to see my roommate, to see my floor mate. You see? And then your response is, you will pray. Seek the Lord of the harvest. How about that? This is God's desire. And the more we touch Him, the more we touch His life and His essence, it gets infused into us. And we love all men. I mean, tell you, even if he's a cross-dresser, you know what you need to do that one? Pray for him. Lord, have mercy on this God-created vessel. Save him. Or save her. Or save this person who constantly, every time they go out, there's people that go out every weekend, they drink, they come back with a tattoo. You see, surely this is the enemy. We need to pray. Lord, save this one. You know, today you have people now that are like, there's a show on TV that people that hated that they have tattoos and they want to remove their tattoos. You understand? People don't know what they want. This is all instigated by Satan. We need to pray. Well, I have to stop here, but I just want to just leave you with this. Please read the outline. Please read all the verses. Everything we're speaking is from the Word. Okay? And we digested the Word, and we're just speaking the Word to you. May the Lord have mercy on us. May the Lord touch us. And may the Lord show us His heart. And may we receive His love. Amen.